Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the fact that it's called Everyone Knows That adds to the irony of it so much. The fact that it was, you know, a lost song that no one had a clue about for so long.
If you're not super online, there's a chance you may not have heard of this story.
And I admittedly had not.
But if you are online, it may be one of the biggest discoveries for you of the last 2 years.
What, they found a new planet?
Well, maybe not that big.
So it first originated in 2021, someone called Carl92. That was all the information I had about him. No picture, nothing else, just a guy called Carl92. Went on the website whatsthatsong.com and uploaded a small clip, 17 seconds long. And he said, this is a song that's like mid-80s, I think, bad quality. Can someone help me identify it?
I'm Mike Rogers with producer Chris Blake, and this is Something Offbeat. Now, this week, I spoke with Laura Holiday. She's a writer who specializes in internet culture, about this 17-second clip of a song that really took the internet by storm.
Nobody knew anything about the song, except that it had a really catchy hook, and the lyrics were, as I said, kind of ironic. So if everyone knows that, you've got ulterior motives, which made it a little bit suspicious from the beginning. And, you know, people flocked onto the kind of onto the What's That Song discussion boards and were suggesting that maybe it was like a Savage Garden demo because it had this kind of 80s poppy feel to it, or that it was maybe from a commercial or a jingle. But yeah, nobody knew where it was from.
And it really just kind of became an obsession for a lot of people, didn't it?
It did. So very quickly, it kind of moved from this website onto Reddit, where the subreddit Everyone Knows That was founded. And it also became really big on YouTube. So on YouTube, lots of people would upload the clip alongside this picture of this like hot pink boombox, which for some reason became like a symbol or like a motif associated with the song. I think because it kind of portrayed the vibe of it being this kind of 80s beat really well, this sort of retro vintage vibe.
You know, since I lived in the 80s and remember them well, it is actually kind of disheartening to now hear them described as retro and vintage. But I guess there is an ongoing fascination, and this song plays into that.
So I think I first saw it on YouTube. So I'm really into like watching all these videos that are like, you know, dark and disturbing rabbit holes and internet mysteries. So I really like creators like Nexpo and Shy Valley. And what they do often is they make these kind of video essays that I think are kind of like ASMR-like. So I find them quite soothing, and they like delve into these mysterious topics that are unsolved and no one can figure out. And so I was already getting a lot of those in my feed. And then eventually the algorithm just threw up this picture of this pink boombox, and I thought, oh, what's this? This is strange. And then, yeah, I sort of fell into the rabbit hole.
You alluded to this earlier. Describe the music, if you can. It does kind of have a little 80s vibe to it, doesn't it?
It does, but it's quite interesting because it has an 80s vibe to it, and it sounds like it could be a hit song. So it sounds like it would fit in with, you know, Madonna or, you know, Cyndi Lauper and songs like that, or Michael Jackson or any of those artists that were big around then. It's kind of, yeah, it's just very catchy. It's got a very catchy chorus. But it's interesting because it also sounds like it could be something like Italo disco, like it could have been some kind of European disco song, or it could have been Japanese, because the singer's got like an accent that no one could quite figure out. So I think that added to the mystery because it wasn't so clearly, obviously, from the time. There were some slight indications that it could have been from somewhere else.
So legally, I don't know that we're going to be allowed to use the actual music on this podcast.
By the way, when we were planning this episode, before the source of the track was discovered, Lauren and I talked about using the actual clip, because if no one owns it, how could we get in trouble? But now that it's been discovered, we decided to play it safe.
No one wants to get sued.
Exactly.
But you know what? We did the next best thing. So I'm going to ask you, give me your rendition. Do the cover of this for
Oh my God. Okay. So firstly, I've got to say that before I do this, there are two main interpretations of the first line. Okay. So some people think it goes, "You're counting all the sheep in the sky, caught up in a world of lies. Everyone knows that you've got ulterior motives. Tell me the truth. Every move shows that." And then it ends. But then some people think that the first line says, instead of counting all the sheep in the sky, which doesn't really make sense unless, you know, you're in bed trying to fall asleep. Some people think it says, "You're counting on a shift in disguise," or something like that. So that has always been the kind of confusion, is that first line was so unintelligible. And I think that kind of allowed people to project their own lore and interpretations onto it and kind of added to the discussion. Everybody wanted to weigh in and say, you know, what they thought the lyrics were.
I suppose that now we have a part of the mystery solved, just like within the last week or so, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's been absolutely crazy. So like I said, for a while, people were wondering, like, a big part of why this mystery was so kind of enduring is because people would put the lyrics into Google and nothing would come up. And so people have wondered for ages, is it a jingle? Is it from a commercial? Like, why is it that we can't find this song? And I think a while back, somebody suggested that it might be for a movie, specifically an adult movie, because, you know, often people soundtracking these films will write music specifically to play in the background of scenes. But a lot of people kind of discredited that theory for a few reasons. Mainly, the username of the guy who uploaded it was Carl92. He claimed that he found it in 1999. Most people thought that that meant he was only 7 years old when he found it. So that was immediately discredited for that reason. But also because I think people just thought it was too good. People thought, you know, the music that you hear in these films is, you know, it's kind of crap, but this song is actually, it sounds like it could have been a hit. So people, yeah, kind of discredit that theory. But then I think a user called One Truth looked back into it and realized that there was somebody called Christopher St. Booth or Christopher David Booth, who they had previously seen in a database as having authored a song called Ulterior Motives, and people have gone, oh, that could be a lead. And then somebody else connected the dots that Christopher St. Booth was a director of, like, adult films and thought, oh my God, like, maybe it's in one of them. And so two people spent their Sunday going through a marathon of all of this guy's work, and eventually one of them found it.
You know, I said earlier that you guys were obsessed. I had no idea how obsessed.
Yeah, it's people have been dedicating, like, you know, entire days to this. There's people who've got spreadsheets and organized all of the stuff and that. So the person who found it, I think their name is South Pole Ball on Reddit. They were the person who originally made the spreadsheet and kind of tracked all of these leads. So it's been very, very organized. There's like a Discord server where people will communicate as soon as they, you know, think of a certain lead. And then that's also really important as well, because that meant that people weren't like spamming these musicians that they'd find. You'd have like one person who would go and contact them instead of 50,000. So that was really important.
And so at the end of the day, we find out that it's basically the soundtrack to a porn movie.
Yeah. It's I don't know how much I'm allowed to say on this podcast and what would be cut out. Do you want me to explain what the porno is about? Because I've seen all of it. I watched it the other day.
As delicately as you can. Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so it is a film with a supernatural premise. It's a thinly veiled supernatural premise where three people are, two girls and a guy, are so busy engaging in behavior that they don't notice that a car crashes into the motorhome that they're in and they all die. And so then they're transported to heaven or limbo or someplace, and some man called William speaks to them and says, "You've got to go back to Earth and teach the humans lessons." And of course, the lessons that they have to teach the humans are of a sexual nature. So they, you know, they return to Earth, and then they meet all these unhappy people that they have to cure. And that's basically the premise of the movie. You get quite attached to the characters by the end. You are rooting for them. But the scene in particular that everyone knows that real name, Ulterior Motives, plays during, it's in a bedroom. And
of course.
Yeah. In the background, there's this gigantic Coca-Cola flag or poster. So it's very 80s. It's just completely perfect. It's the sort. It's exactly what the kind of thing that I would imagine they'd be from. It's just so on the time.
And so for this, they somehow decided to use ulterior motives instead of the standard brown chicken, brown cow.
Well, it is quite weird, actually, because the other songs leading up to that in the scene are actually quite subtle. Like, you know, they're just in the background, just background music, you know, just they're just an add-on to what's going on. But as soon as Ulterior Motive starts, it does kind of take you out of it for a minute because you think this is actually a banger. This is a really, really good song. So I can totally understand why, you know, Carl 92 stopped for a second and thought, hang on, I need to know what this song is. And he clearly did, because when you hear the whole song, you realize that the 17-second snippet that this guy uploaded is the only part of the song that is not disturbed by other noises. So Carl 92 really had ulterior motives all along, because he clearly cut the clip and knew where it was from, but didn't want to say.
There's got to be a clean version, a clean, full version out there somewhere, right? Recorded in the studio with no movie noise ruining it.
Yeah, there has to be. I think the next step, I guess, is just waiting for Christopher St. Booth to release that. And he has teased it. So he's not come out officially and like addressed EKT. Like, he's not done an interview yet, to my knowledge. But he has sort of teased that he's in the studio and that another version of it is going to come out. So it'll be good to hear it without the distracting noises.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Chris, there was a time when people just accepted that if no one in a particular group of people didn't know something, we'd all just move on.
But now, with computers in the palm of our hands most of the day, it's a lot harder to accept that fate. I'll admit, when I hear a song I don't know and I can only remember a fragment of a lyric, I just put it in Google and find it that way.
Exactly. I do that with actors and actresses all the time. I'd be watching something and, oh, who is that guy? I know him. What was he in? Back in the day, you just have to give it up and move on, but not anymore. What was the last song you did that with?
I can't remember the name, but there was a song that kept popping up in reels on my Instagram that I wanted to figure out what it was called, and I could just remember one phrase of a lyric. I put it in and it brought up a Killers song, but I eventually found what I was looking for.
You know, someone from 20 years ago wouldn't have any clue what you were just talking about.
No. Although the Killers
have been around.
They've been around for 20 years probably.
Are there any other examples of songs that no one on the internet has been able to identify? The next big mystery, I guess, now that this one is solved.
So I think there's lots of lost songs. There's, you know, a whole subreddit called Lost Wave, which is for all of the smaller ones, and some of them have their own communities. But by far the biggest one, apart from EKT, is a song that is kind of known as the most mysterious song on the internet. So it was called the most mysterious song on the internet for a while. And then I'd argue that EKT kind of stole that title, but it's now obviously been dethroned. So the focus is going to come back to this original one. And this song is also called Like the Wind. And it is from a cassette that somebody found, I think, in Germany, that was recorded off a German radio show. And it's a full song. So unlike EKT, it's not just 17 seconds. It's a full song. And again, it kind of has this sort of 80s post-punk, new wave, kind of slightly more gothy vibe to it. And that song people have been trying to find since about 2007. So it's far, far longer than the search for EKT. And I think it's more interesting because people have got the records from this radio station of all the songs that were played in 1984, which they've determined the song is from because of some signal sound in it. I don't know the technicalities. And they have all the DJs, all the different shows, lists of every single song that was played, and it's just not on there. And they know that it was recorded off this station, but they can't find it.
You mentioned Lost Wave. Tell me what that is and the Mandela effect and back rooms. And I mean, are these all tied in?
Yeah, so I think they're all tied together. So Lost Wave is, so it's really just the term for any song that is lost or unidentified. So that can be anything from like a digital clip that somebody has uploaded to one of these websites, like What's That Song? Or it can be a piece of physical media that people can't identify and then take to the internet to look for. So the example is this band called Panchico. One of their records was found in a thrift store, and it had nothing on it except for like this anime person on the front and the first names of the people in the band. And so people managed to track it down eventually by finding every single person with those names in Nottingham in the UK on Facebook and eventually finding the right one. But yeah, Lost Wave is the term for any kind of lost song. But I think it kind of goes beyond just being a term, and also kind of to me is sort of this whole example of this internet phenomena, which I think, like you said, Backrooms, Mandela Effect are all kind of part of. So the Mandela effect obviously is fake memories. So it's like when people have a collective false memory of something that happened. So it's named after Nelson Mandela because when he died in 2013, lots of people thought that he'd already died in the 90s. And so it became this term. And now it's applied to things like the Fruit of the Loom cornucopia, which people, they say that there used to be this horn or basket on the Fruit of the Loom logo, and, you know, the Berenstain Bears being spelled with an E instead of an A, or the other way around. And the thing that connects all of these, I think, is alternate realities. So the Backrooms is this idea that, you know, you can get trapped in an alternate reality where you're stuck in this kind of moldy office building with like yellow carpet and you can't get out. And, you know, the Mandela effect, the way that people explain that, they say it's not just a collective memory. That's an example of, like, it's proof that we've kind of clipped into another dimension, basically. And so I think that Lost Wave can be added to this group because people hear these songs and they say, oh, this sounds like it's a hit from another dimension. Like, why can't we find it? And so there's this kind of paranormal sort of vibe attached to it, basically.
Laura, I'll tell you this. I think you need to give up all this and start a singing career.
Thank you. Well, the thing is, a lot of these songs, like some people think some of them are hoaxes. So obviously EKT has been proven to be from a real film, but some people think that these songs are people deliberately, you know, recording a song and making it up and trying to get it to go viral. So, you know, maybe I could do that and, you know, put like a 80s drum beat in the background and see if people can figure out if it's me. But I can't do that now because I just revealed it.
You're totally going to drive people crazy if you do that.
It's an AOE.
Laura, listen, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to speak with us. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad the mystery is solved now.
Yeah, me too. But I'm just curious to know where people are going to go next, or which one's going to be the next one that people are going to find.
I'm Mike Rogers, and thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. Now, to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story and you think we should cover, we'd love to hear about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.